Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Warning. Things are about to get intense.
I mean, Bree and I are talking like that intense moment when the room stops, maybe time stops, when everything might be going around you, but you're looking at that one person dead in the eyes, or a maple donut in our eyes. Usually I'm giving that stare down when I want to ask my husband for his credit card so I can go shopping.
Ooh, that is the intense that I like.
Intense heat, lasting plump.
From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York.
Formulated with chili pepper, Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts.
Available in 8 sizzling shades. Blush, Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and many more.
And you know me with that red, nothing like a red flag on my sizzling lips.
Oh, we know it, girl. Can you take that heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you.
Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
What up, everyone? Welcome back to the Bellas Podcast. Finally, no more holding my tongue about my baby's gender because it's a boy.
Woo! And my hubby, Daniel Bryan, returns for a special edition of Dear Bellas and everyone's favorite game show,
Bella Brains.
All right, here we go.
Happy hump day, Bella Army. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Bree, and this is the Bellas Podcast.
All right, you guys, so Total Bellas Season 5 has just come to an end, but don't be sad because Total Bellas Season 6 will be back this fall.
And that means it's time for opening up, so let's pop that bottle. Today we are opening up with some cucumber mint mocktails. We need a little refresher this late in the game of pregnancy. Woo!
Honestly.
We are tired.
Yes. It's crazy how tired you get.
I wasn't joking around, right?
You were
how
not.
How it hits you in third trimester?
It's like jet lag. Uh-huh. Like that's the best way I can compare it to.
Literally, Nicole and I, early this morning, we're looking at each other and we're like, how can our bumps get any bigger? Like, I feel like my baby's feet and hands are always out. I feel like they're going to bust through my stomach.
I cannot believe how much, I get to say it, how much I could feel him, which we will get to that Total Bellas recap gender reveal. But I feel him at my hips. Then I feel him all the way up in the top of my stomach. I feel him all around. I'm like, oh my gosh, like you're everywhere.
And then their heads are just on our bladders, moving around, making us pee. I will say, you guys, this morning, so two things happened to me in the last couple of days. This morning, I sneezed and pee-peed my pants.
Ew.
Like, it wasn't a lot of pee-pee, but it was, I had to change my underwear.
Okay, we're not Birdie. You don't have to say pee-pee.
What would you like me to say?
I mean, you could just say pee. You don't say pee-pee.
Okay, and then I was laughing really hard in the car at my sister and kind of tinkled my pants too. Can I say tinkle?
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm definitely at that stage in the game where I cannot control my bladder.
See, mine isn't quite like that yet. I like feel you. I mean, I go to the restroom so much, but I actually can control my bladder so far. Mm-hmm. But I guess I have 7 more weeks left. I haven't had that accidental peen, I guess you could say.
Wait till it happens.
Oh my gosh, is this for real?
It happens.
I do hear about it a lot after the fact.
Yes, that happens too. But let's get to it. By the way, can you believe that Total Bellas Season 5 is done?
No, I'm so sad. I can't believe we just had the season finale and there's no more Bellas till the fall, because everyone, Total Bellas season 6 is coming to you this fall. We don't have an exact date yet, but we have been officially picked up.
That's right.
So we are so excited. We have currently been filming for the next season. So you are going to see pregnancy, labors, and new mommies. Well, new mommy for me.
Right. But me and new mommy to chew. But
yeah.
We're excited because we are taking you to the delivery room, and you all saw me give birth to Birdie on TV, which was crazy. But I think it'll be fun for you all to see both Nicole and I, because who knows what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. We're only a week and a half apart. It could happen the same day. Who knows? Like, it's going to be really fun to watch, I think, for all of you.
It is going to be fun to watch. I'm super excited to share the journey. It was different than originally what we all planned, because the cameras were going to follow us to WrestleMania and Hall of Fame and come to our podcast tour and our book tour. We were doing stuff in New York and Napa Valley and Los Angeles. And the season, we were like, wow, this is just writing itself. It's amazing when it happens that way. And then COVID-19 hit. And we had to postpone filming for 8 to 9 weeks, was it, Brie?
Right.
So we've recently been filming for the past 4 weeks or three?
Four.
4 weeks. So you're going to see how we're doing it in quarantine, because, of course, we've been following the rules and all the state laws, which I think it'll be interesting for people to get that inside look of how people do live during quarantine.
For sure. I know someone like myself who went through a pregnancy where there was no rules and it was way different to a pregnancy now where you're living through a pandemic and it's two very different pregnancies. Everything's super different. I think that's going to be interesting to the viewer.
Right. Well, and you know, for me, for so many of you who followed me on this journey for the past 7 years of reality TV and my life and knowing that I've always wanted to be a mom, it's like I'm finally pregnant and then COVID-19 hits and I don't get to do all the things that you're really excited for as a first-time mom: baby shower, maternity shoot, going to restaurants and not holding back on dessert, going maternity shopping, like just so many things that I haven't gotten to do any of that. But I'm grateful that I'm healthy and I have a healthy baby boy in my tummy. And I keep saying boy, but I feel like we need to get to the recap of Total Bellas so we could really talk about the gender reveal.
Oh, yes. We're making everyone wait way too long.
Way too long. Okay, you guys. So the gender is out. I am having a boy. I hope it's not a spoiler alert for some tuning in. But on the season finale, Total Bellas, we did our gender reveal. And can I just say, I'm so happy it's out because it took so much mind power to always make sure to say baby, baby. Don't say him. Don't say him. We had to do so much media and people would try to get it out of me. And I'm so proud that I've kept it in and I haven't said anything. So it's officially out. Artem and I are having a baby boy.
I can't wait to meet him.
I can't wait. We're going to bring Artem on the podcast here in a little bit. And we'll go more in detail with the gender reveal and our feelings. But I am just so excited to be a boy mom and to just raise a son. I cannot wait. And I was just so happy to share it with all the viewers because I really loved my theme. You know, because Artem and I, we did dance Coco, and like just Artem being a dancer, it was really important to me to have the Florco dancers. I wanted to surprise Artem with that, and then having the mariachis and having, you know, the taco cart and the bar with the spicy skinny margaritas. Of course, some were mocktails. And just doing like a Grateful or a Day of the Dead theme. That was so much fun, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved it. You guys did such a tremendous job with just all the little decor. And I helped you decorate. So
you did.
It was so much fun. And I think, too, it's crazy because I've had to hide it, too. And I have to like watch myself not slip. And
Birdie, I think, is who I was the most worried about.
Every time you would do IG Live, I was like, Nicole, you know, there's a chance Birdie's going to blow it.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to tell everyone, oh, the baby boy in Dodo's tummy. So I was really nervous that I was going to ruin it. But I'm so happy it's out. And I think you're the perfect mom for a boy. your personality, and it, I don't know, I just think it's going to be so great. It's funny because I feel like you need to now backtrack a little bit, because there was a post you took down and you blamed
me. Yes. Okay, everyone.
And everyone was giving me crap, but you need to tell everyone that you accidentally blew it for yourself.
So I had posted an ultrasound and I ended up deleting it. And everyone was like, why did you delete it? And I asked Brie, I go, Brie, can I blame you? Because, okay, first of all, it wasn't my little boy's private part. It was actually how I cut it off. It was a white bone of his leg, but people thought it was like a boy part.
No, it's not that they thought it was a boy part.
No, yes, it was. Oh. That's why I deleted it.
But I think because it was a bright light, and if there's one just bright light, that means boy. If there's two lights, it's, I think, a girl, because it's the
ovaries. Everyone also thought that that was...
Because that's what I was like kind of reading. They're like, oh, she has just the one light, which is a boy, two lights is a girl, or something like that.
So many people are just saying like a boy. And I'm like, oh my God, did I just ruin it? So I deleted it. But I'm like, I need to have a good reason. So I call up Brie and I go, Brie, oh my goodness, I might have blown the gender, but can I blame you? Like saying like, you need to keep things private and blah, blah. And Brie's like, fine, you know, she took one for the team. And then I felt bad because then so many people got pissed at Brie.
Oh, they jumped all over me.
They jumped all over her. And then I couldn't sleep that night because I'm like, oh my gosh, I just got my sister so much hate.
For no reason.
For no reason, because I didn't want to ruin the gender. So if any of you remember that, me deleting an ultrasound pic and blaming Brie, it was a lie. It's because I thought I gave the gender away and I didn't want to give the gender away.
Yeah, which I didn't mind taking the heat for that. I would rather have people be mean to me. Yeah, so they didn't know that you were having a boy at that time. But I am so excited. And you guys, I want you guys to write at us, hashtag Bella's podcast. But now that you know Nikki's having a boy, what do you think I'm having? Do you think I'm having a boy? Do you think I'm having a girl?
I go so back and forth with
you, Brie. I go back and forth too.
There are times that like I strongly feel like you're having a boy. And then there are times, and it's mainly when Birdie's talking, that I feel like you're having a girl.
And people do say kids have insight, right? And Birdie feels strongly about a sister coming.
Yeah.
So then it always makes me feel like I'm having a girl. And Brian this past week said something, not realizing what he was saying, and it made me get this like strong feeling inside, like, whoa, I think I'm having a girl. But then I look at my belly and my pregnancy and I see these ultrasounds and I'm like, gosh, I feel like I'm having a boy.
I mean, it's crazy. So Brie and I, we were just at the doctor and her baby's heartbeat ended up being the same as my baby's heartbeat. And
same heart rate. Yeah.
Same heart rate. So we both are like, boy. But the doctor's like, well, that could still be a girl too. You never know. Right. So that's going to be such a fun surprise.
Such a fun surprise. And honestly, like, I feel like I can't go wrong. It'd be amazing to have a boy because I feel like it'd be, you know, just a spiritual twin of my sister's child. Like they just, it'd be perfect. And, you know, to have two different genders as your children would be awesome. But then I know how special a sister is because I have one. And to see Birdie with a sister, and I was telling her the other night because she wanted me to sleep in the room with her. And I'm like, just think, when your sibling comes in a couple years, you guys could share room and share bunk beds. And she's like, I can share a bunk bed with my sister? That will be so fun. And it just made me think of like cute little girls in a room together, like sharing secrets. And so I either way, it's going to be a win-win situation.
It will be a win-win either way, for sure. And you know, something, Brie, I'd love to talk about because I kind of realize it's a bit controversial, and that's about getting induced before your due date. And I remember like you've had talks about this before, but I had said something on the IG Live when we were announcing season 6 coming in the fall.
Yeah.
And I said, and we could be similar because I'm going to be getting induced. And a lot of people were like, wait, why is she getting induced? Is there something wrong? And all these things. And so, you know, my baby is growing a week ahead and I really want a vaginal birth. So as of right now, the doctors are saying that they're comfortable enough to induce me a week before the due date.
Which they'll check you. And if they don't feel comfortable, they
won't. Exactly. So I think a lot of people got upset at me for that. But it's like, look, at the end of the day, I'm going to do whatever's healthiest for my baby. As of now, how he's growing and me really wanting to do a vaginal birth and also having low blood pressure because, you know, at our age, that's, you know, a risk. It's 5 days before the due date, if he doesn't come out before that. So, right. So, but I didn't realize how controversial that
very,
is with people.
Very. I always lean towards more natural.
No,
I
which
have
I've
more
known that.
Hippie values and all of that. But I do not judge anyone's pregnancy or what they want to do. That's always up to whoever goes in and what makes someone feel comfortable. I don't really voice my opinions on that kind of stuff because I feel like you do you. That's always what I believe in. But for myself and what I did with Birdie is there is a thing where when the baby feels like its brain is fully developed is when it tells the body it's ready to come. The baby knows when it's done cooking in the oven, right?
Right. And so that's what makes me think differently.
So what they say is your due date's always 2 weeks off. It could be 2 weeks ahead of time or it could be 2 weeks behind. So sometimes your baby might need 2 weeks over the due date. This is all opinions. There's so many different opinions. I went 10 days over until my placenta almost collapsed on Bird, and that's why I got induced. But I was 10 days past my due date. Granted, Birdie was so big, I couldn't push her out and then had an emergency C-section. But, you know, I think sometimes you got to let the baby make the decision because the baby and your body ultimately know when it's time. But at the same time, we are so medically advanced that if they're saying your child's ready, maybe.
Right. And that's the thing. At the end of the day, I'm going to do whatever is healthy for a little boy, whatever's the best for him. I'm going to follow doctor's orders. I do pray and hope. I meditate about it constantly that we're going to have an amazing labor and that he's going to come out vaginally because that's what I really want. But I have the dream I think that everyone has. Like, you're doing something cute, your water breaks, your man rushes you to the hospital and your baby comes out with a few pushes, you know, through your vagina and you're like, here we are.
Yay. I want my water to break.
One big happy family.
Yeah.
I want to feel the feeling of like the water breaking.
I want my
feel
water
that.
To break at Whole Foods. I want to be in a grocery store in
so
front of
funny
people.
How you say that.
I want to look at people and be like, well,
here it is. I was envisioning like Artem like baking something in the kitchen and then my water breaks and then we have this
By the way, the water doesn't come gushing out. It's not this dramatic situation.
Like, that's only the movies.
But it's just exciting to know, like, all right, we're about to rock and roll.
Yeah.
But you got to do you, but you have to understand, I mean, not only social media, but motherhood, there's a lot of judgy, opinionated people. And so you're coming into that world, so you know.
Well, bring it on because my boy and I, we are going to be flashy and fun and hip. And I just can't wait to dress him up, but also just teach him things. I just want to raise such an amazing boy into such an amazing man. Poor little boy. I'm going to be such like a helicopter mom, but I'm going to be a good role model. Even if there are things that I have to change in my life, like I already have the feeling of him first and like, every kick and punch and booty moving thing I feel in my tummy, I just fall more and more in love with him. And I can't wait to meet him, Bree.
I cannot wait
to meet him and hold him and kiss him and just, you know, shift and make him such a big focus in my life. And, you know,
he's going to be.
Yeah. And I want him to be. I want him to be the priority. And I want to give him every tool in life he will need to become an amazing man. So.
Well, I love that. Well, enough about me talking about it with you. Let's bring on your little baby boy's daddy.
Yeah.
And we could hear what he thinks and his little recap of the season finale of Total Ballast.
Welcome to a special segment brought to you by Xfinity. Nikki and I juggle a lot of different roles, being moms, wives, sisters, TV personalities, podcast hosts, partners in wine, so that means our days are very chaotic. I love being a mom first, but I have to say, I've never wanted to really sacrifice my career, and that's why we partnered up with Xfinity. Get a powerful connection that works throughout your home with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi. Whether I'm on a video call for work, I don't have to worry about them dropping, or if I'm watching cooking videos to make something fun for the kids, and I feel like I've been able to be this hands-on mom. Work from home, I feel like I can just balance everything, as long as I have some reliable internet. Today, I was able to make my kids some breakfast, but before I took them to school, I had to jump on a video call. Head to my office, boom, I sit on the desk, and next thing you know, I'm in a meeting with people in England, and I'm going over a presentation with people in New York. The one thing I have to say that Xfinity has given me is peace of mind. I feel like Xfinity has literally made my household run very nicely, very calmly, and I am so blessed for them. That wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity has allowed me to do so much of my day. Reliable internet isn't just a luxury for us. It's a must. With wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you worry less about dead spots because, let's be honest, they're the worst. Huge thank you to Xfinity for supporting the show. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With reliable coverage on all your devices, home just got even sweeter with Xfinity. Learn more at Xfinity.com.
When it comes to decorating my home, I like coziness. I like the boho feel. I want it to be light and airy. Pretty much when you walk into my door, I want you to feel that you are truly at home and you have that warm and fuzzy feeling. So, do you want to know something we've all got in common? Here it is. We all want our home to be our happy place, somewhere where we actually look forward to coming home to. Why not make your home your happy place with Wayfair and become a happy new resident of the Wayborhood? Wayfair welcomes all home decorating styles, so they make it easy to find the perfect product for your home no matter your taste. Plus, the Wayborhood exists in every single zip code because Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love, no matter where they live. Wayfair is the go-to destination for everything home. And with plenty of styles to choose from, Wayfair also makes it easy with fast and free shipping. They'll even help you set up what you get. I have to tell you, one thing I love about Wayfair is their rugs. And this spring, I am getting some new rugs. What I love about Wayfair is that you can literally search the color of rug you'd like, the size, the shape. They even have a diagram of how it would look in your house. Wayfair makes the shopping experience so easy, so quick. A couple little clicks and before you know it, you have a brand new rug that is on your way to your house. Plus, shipping is pretty incredible. I don't have to wait months for a rug. When I want it, it comes pretty quickly. I love that. Thank you, Wayfair, for making it easy and affordable. So to find your own happy place in the Wayborhood, just visit Wayfair on their website or go through the Wayfair mobile app. Wayfair, every style, every home.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more.
Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come.
Wow, that is so cool. I feel like there's so many times I drive around and I always look and I'm like, oh my gosh, if that was just a park for kids to be at. One thing I find as a mom that is so healthy for my children mentally and physically is places for them to run around that feel safe, that have community. I also feel like it's a great place for kids to be social. So I find it absolutely incredible that Macy's is going the extra yard to really help the emotional and physical well-being of children.
Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome back to the podcast, Artem.
Thank you.
So Bree and I have been recapping the season finale, Total Bellas. Can you believe it's already over?
I know, 11 episodes went so quick.
I know. And so this is your first experience of like reality TV and being on a series. Well, I mean, Dancing with Stars, I look at it as a competition show, not a reality show. Didn't it make you sad that Total Bellas, it's over?
Yeah, it did. I didn't think it's going to fly so fast, I'll be honest with you. And then a lot really has happened.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Artem, they captured like our first year being together in 11 episodes. It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
I know.
But I mean, I think for you and I, the season finale was quite exciting.
Well, yeah, obviously it's been exciting. First of all, you know, proposal, then, you know, the whole baby gender. It's, yeah, it's a lot to take.
Isn't it feel so good that you can say we're having a boy?
I know. I think I still sometimes catch myself. Did I say too much?
Yeah, right. You do. It messes you up. I have to say, though, it's been such a beautiful journey, and I've been so blessed and happy that you've been on this journey with me and with Total Bellas. And earlier we were talking about the amazing news that season 6 is coming back in the fall, which is fun, and that we're currently filming right now. But let's just talk about our baby boy for a second. So everyone, every night I pray that I want our baby boy to be like Artem's mini, because I just think I'm so in love with Artem's eyes. And I know that if our baby boy has his eyes, like, he'll probably get everything that he wants and get away with everything with me, because Artem's the same at times.
What?
Yeah.
What do I get
how
away
he
with
moves
dancing?
In the womb. I already feel like he's dancing. He's going to be a little dancer.
Or wrestling. It's not
point.
Been really just, you know,
that's
not
true.
Moving at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'd be very happy if it take, you know, some resemblance of me.
No,
I mean, that'd be nice.
So his ultrasound photos, we have been comparing to Artem's baby photos, and they do look very similar. And even Artem's mom can't believe how much our baby boy looks like Artem's baby photos.
Yes, it's true. I mean, there's definitely some resemblance to it, but I also feel like every single baby looks the same.
No, they don't. Even
yeah, a little bit.
When Brie and I mean, they look very similar, but there's definitely differences.
But I don't think you can, like, see what it's going to grow up to be.
No,
you know?
Well, of course not. Birdie looked a lot different from her newborn photos till now.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's like a big difference.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I do hope it's going to get, like, you know, like, maybe my eyes, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, you're so cute.
That'd be good.
And are you so...
I mean, we already know I got your dimple, so...
Yeah, my dimple, my smile.
Yeah.
How
well,
cute.
I don't know about smile. The
yeah,
dimple.
Smile's hard, but he did get my dimple, yeah. Which is really cute. I love that. Mama.
Dimple and the crow's feet.
Yeah, and he crosses his feet like I... So when I sleep, when I used to sleep on my back, I always would cross my feet. I still actually will do it on my side, but our little boy crosses his feet in the womb, which is like the cutest thing. So he's a lot like his mama already. So what are your thoughts that we are bringing the cameras to the delivery room for season 6?
I honestly don't know what to think about.
Don't worry. They're going to blur out the nasty parts.
No, but the fact is they're actually going to be seeing it too. Okay, I get it. The audience, how they're not going to see it, but they'll be seeing things. So I don't know.
Well, but as of now, because of COVID-19, you're the videographer. You're the cameraman.
Oh. Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But then can I also be in the editing room?
Hey, it's my vagina.
And what's your point?
Well, you know, I'm fine with it. Hey, if they want to stare that long at that footage, may God be with you. Was there anything you would like to say about the season finale? I mean, we just announced that we're having a baby boy.
Well, it's. I mean, we knew for a long time, obviously. So it's kind of like it's nice to have a secret out, but at the same time, just because of the announcement, it didn't really change how I felt prior to that. They didn't like all of a sudden like, oh my goodness, we're having a boy. We knew we're having a boy. So it's not as much of a news for us as news for, you know, people who tuned in. But it's nice not to have this fear of if someone's going to find out prior to, you know, airing it. That's definitely a huge relief. Other things, I don't know, just, you know, getting to be that, which is, I don't really know how to get ready to be that. If anybody have any pointers, please send my way. But it's, I don't know, it's... It's like feeling of really being excited and being like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a whole nother human that you made, you participated in making. But at the same time, you can like completely forget the part is how much responsibility comes with it, which is very scary, you know, and being a first-time parent, right. It's not like there is a book for them is, hey, that's how you do it, you know? So, and I know everyone does it differently. And it's another thing is like you take so many advices from so many different people and everybody says different things.
Right.
You know, it whatever work for them. So I'm kind of like thinking that I'm just going to go with the flow, first of all, and rely on instinct, because apparently people saying like you will create certain instincts that kind of like you will be mind blown that you do have them.
Of course, it's like, that's life.
It's like in us, like integrated in us for generations and generations and generations. But I mean, it's still scary.
Right. So I have a question for you. What excites you the most about being a dad and having a son?
Well, I mean, a lot of things, you know. I want to see what this baby is going to be into, how I can participate in his interests, you know, teach him things and see like the manners that he will inhabit from, you know, both of us and kind of like recognize that and see the first smile, what he's going to say first, hopefully dad and not mama.
Oh, really?
You know, things you like that, that you're definitely really excited and looking forward to.
I agree. Well, I...
They're like, dada.
No. Well, he'll like, probably definitely like, say mama first,
and
but...
be like, dada. And I'd be like, oh, but mama,
we're so going to compete for his just ultimate attention, aren't we?
Well, I mean, it's given.
Whatever. Well, I'm very excited that we are bringing a boy in this world. And I know for me, because, you know, originally you really had your heart set on having a little girl. Like, that's what you really wanted.
Well, it's just I knew that it would be a little bit less stressful, in my opinion, simply because I've dealt with a lot of girls and women since I was a little kid. I'd always dance with a girl. So you kind of like get comfortable with the fact that you kind of understand what the needs are. But it didn't change the fact that it's like, oh my God, I'm extremely happy with a boy. Yeah. And I'm like thrilled to have a boy.
Well, you know who was really happy was my mom. She's been wanting a grandson for so long. And my mom literally just jumped up and ran over and hugged us so hard and tight, as you guys saw on the season finale. And, you know, and it excites me that we've shared this journey so far in Total Bellas, and we'll share it more in the fall. And
there's a lot to come.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
We are about 6 weeks away from being new parents. So it's going to happen quick.
6 weeks.
Well, Artem, thank you for coming on the podcast. And it's crazy to think that this is the last time till the fall that you'll be recapping Total Bellas. So we're going to have to find other reasons to get you on, because I love you so much and I'm carrying your son.
Yeah.
Which means I get a foot massage later, right?
Yeah.
All right, everyone. And up next, we are going to be throwing it to Bree and Brian for a very, very special edition of Dear Bellas. All right, you guys. So I'm really excited because we are going to do something a little different today with Dear Bellas. A couple weeks ago, we had someone call in and she just poured her heart out on our message and just talking about Sedona, how much it's touched her seeing Brian's journey with depression. And she just kind of spoke about her husband and their marriage in the last 11 years. And it was a beautiful message. And then my sister and I, because we always look at your comments on Twitter, every time you guys hashtag the Bellas podcast, we're always reading. And we saw that her husband wrote us. And then I thought it'd be appropriate to bring my husband on, Daniel Bryan, to talk about depression. We did a YouTube video on the Bellas YouTube channel. And anytime Brian speaks about depression, we always get such a positive response, but so many people asking questions. So I asked Brian if he would join us today to kind of enlighten us of what's helped him. But first, I want to read the husband's tweet just for all of you who listen every week. I just thought you'd really find this really neat. So his name's TJ. He wrote, at Bella Twins, what's going on? This is the husband. You gave my wife some advice on your podcast on how, as a couple, to handle depression. Thank you for the advice. It helped me to understand more hearing from someone that is going through this. Also, much love and respect. TJ, I'm going to bring my husband on to just help more people out because, you know, we're in the same boat and
you know, we're both lucky enough that we don't have to fight depression. But I thought if you do fight depression, it's better to hear it from someone like my husband who's been fighting it for a long time. So here he is, my husband, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So it's always interesting for me to talk about depression, and especially it's hard sometimes, I think, to talk about depression with people who have never experienced depression, or they see it from the outside. Like, you see it in your spouse, or you see it in your sibling, or you see it in your parents, or whatever it is. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about was just how you can be more empathetic with the people that you love in your lives that have depression. And so I'm a reader, so that's how I attack most things, right? So like when I'm experiencing depression and that sort of thing, I read books about it. And so there have been two books that came out in the last year that I thought have been really good and added to the layperson's knowledge of depression and mental illness. One is by Johan Hari called Lost Connections, and that's really attacking the social reasons why people are depressed. Because I think now they're starting to find that there's two causes of mental illness. It's either structural in your brain, which is why they give people antidepressants and things like that, is because, oh, your brain hardware is messed up. So they give you these antidepressants, but the antidepressants don't cure the social causes of depression, like lack of connection with nature, lack of connection with meaningful work, lack of connection with other people. And I think we all can identify with that in this age of COVID-19, where everybody is isolating. We're lucky enough to have each other, to have Birdie, to have Nicole right next door, but not a lot of people have that. And so even people who don't normally experience depression can even feel that depression coming on by not having these social connections. So Johan Hari wrote a great book on that. And for those of you who are not readers, because I know a lot of people are like, oh man, read 300 pages about depression.
Like me.
You know, he has a great TED Talk too. And there are several other great TED Talks for people who have somebody in their lives that they love that suffer from depression. Or if you suffer from depression yourself, there's some wonderful TED Talks. He has one. There's another one on there, and I wish I knew the name of the guy, but there's some great TED Talks on it too. The second book I'd like to highly recommend is The End of Mental Illness by Daniel Amen. And he talks about depression, anxiety, even things like Alzheimer's from a structural perspective of the brain, and how you heal the brain, not through necessarily antidepressants and that sort of thing, but through things like nutrition, through things like hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Medicine has gotten so much better even in the last 10 years, where we can go and we can do these brain scans to find where the blood is flowing to the brain. And they're seeing a lot of positive results from that. So if you suffer from depression, or if you love somebody who suffers from depression, I highly encourage you to go ahead and read some of these things, or watch videos from these people, or even you can look up in your podcast app, whatever app you use for that. You can search for Johan Hari or Daniel Amen, and I'm sure there's multiple podcasts where they just talk about it with a host, where they ask some really great questions about this kind of stuff.
I love that, sweet face. And you know, I think one thing too that I'm sure the listeners would like to know as well is, like, if you're someone like in my position, right? I've never had depression. I've been lucky enough not to. But obviously I'm with someone who does. And there's people out there who have siblings who have depression, or friends or coworkers or loved ones, anything. But is there any advice you could give people out there who get put in a position if there was someone who might have been in a depressed spell or something, what they should do?
So, I mean, everybody's different, and it's knowing the person that you love, right? But the number one thing is support and making sure that they know that you still love them. I also encourage you, and though it's really hard, and this was a struggle for you, is when you're depressed, the one thing that makes you more depressed is seeing it negatively affect the people you love, right?
Totally.
So it's like, oh man, like, I can't get out of this funk right now. But now it's making Bree's life worse. So then sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm going to try to just pretend that I'm not depressed. And then as soon as you leave the house, okay, now I'm just going to lay on the bed. You know what I mean? So being there for support, but also do your best not to let it drag you down, although that's really hard. Because, I mean, it's just the same. Like, so Bree has different issues than I do. She doesn't have depression issues. She has issues, like, with anger. And so it's one of
I bought a really big crystal to help me out with that.
Yeah, and so, but likewise, it's doing your best not to let when Bree's angry about something entirely else that's not me, and I see that she's upset, it's hard to not let that make me also upset because we all empathize with the people that we love. And so, yeah, it's a really tough one, but just be there for support and love and then try to stay positive yourself. Those things can really help. Also, seeing a Native American shaman worked better for me than going and talking to somebody about it. So everybody has different modalities of healing, but be supportive in those. So like sometimes you can ask your partner or the person that you love, do you want me to come into one of these therapy sessions with you? If you decide to go to a shaman or whatever mode of healing that you're looking at, do you want me to come with you? Do you want me to be there for support? All of those kind of things, all of those are helpful.
I agree. I love that, sweet face. And it's so important if you fight depression to not hide it, to not feel ashamed. You need to let someone know. There's so many different hotlines or websites you can go to. But I think you'd be shocked too if you went to people who are close to you and just kind of expressed things you were constantly feeling, because there are ways to help it, and you don't want to live a life where you're hiding it, because I can't imagine how awful that would feel. And, you know, I have to say, Brian, the one thing I've always been in awe about you is the way you do educate yourself. You guys, my husband, by the way, it's his book collection is unreal. Like, I always think to myself, what I need to build my husband is like a library, and where I keep all my shoes, where he should have shoes, even though he only has a couple, it's all books. So you'll walk into our closet and you'll see my shoes on the left side. And then you look to the right and you're like, wait, is that someone's shoe rack? It's Brian's like book rack. It's so funny. But I'm always impressed because when Brian's put in any type of situation or he's going through something, he instantly goes and buys books and educates himself. And I've always been impressed by that, sweet face. And it's amazing because you're really smart, we all know. But even at 39 years old, you constantly want to educate yourself. You constantly want to learn. And, you know, since the whole movement with Black Lives Matter has happened, in our house, we've always supported the Black community. We've always supported every race, religion. We just believe everyone is just equal and we're all the same. But I love it because my husband instantly went out and bought a couple books to educate himself. And Brian, tell everyone the books you got, because I feel like a lot of people, when they listen and when you go to social media, but you hear so many different things. And sometimes it's nice when you know someone, you're like, okay, what are you reading and how do you like it?
Yeah. So, I think this is not a quick, fast conversation, but one of the reasons why I started wanting to read these books is because I had read Jill Lepore's These Truths, and, these truths are self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's in our Constitution, right? But is it self-evident? Because we as a country have not lived that since 1776. We haven't lived that. We haven't treated all men as being equal. And that doesn't even include women, right? And so I started having some of these conversations about race a little bit with some of the people that I work with and some of the people that I talk to. And what I realized is that I'm very bad about talking about race. So right now, there's a ton of people on social media, but at some point, this is probably going to die down, like the fervor for it, right? As the news cycle goes in a circle, right, and all that kind of stuff. And what I want for myself and for the movement is to educate myself in a way that when the social media, when it starts focusing on something else, when there's a new outrage or whatever it is, that I'm still there for this fight and I understand the real core issues. Because even though I know some of the history, I don't know the real issues. When you talk about white privilege, I'm it, right? I'm a white male whose parents loved him growing up and who has like a good job and all that kind of stuff. So how do I talk about it? And I also, when I'm reading these books, I also don't want to put pressure. What I realize too is that, like, oh, If I have a question, I'll just ask Big E, right? The last thing, I'm sure, I don't want to say the last thing, but, you know, your black friends are not your Google, right? They're not there to answer all your white person questions about race, you know?
Right.
And so I wanted to do a lot of education myself and to look up to the black men and women that have been fighting this fight for a long time. And so Big E actually retweeted a woman named Victoria Alexander. She put out like a list of books, like here's an anti-racist book club. So like, not only do I want to be not racist, being not racist isn't good enough. Being anti-racist, right? And not just from an individual level, but from a structural societal level, I want to be anti-racist. I want to support things that bring the black community up because it's not right. And we're seeing these videos. I think that's one of the things that's really sparked people's imaginations is now there's video. The New Day had a great podcast talking about this. And then they were talking about Rodney King and the riots in Los Angeles. That was Rodney King being beaten by cops. Now we're seeing these murders being filmed. And that's really sparked this movement. But so anyways, so you want to be like, in what I want is I want to be an anti-racist, not just not racist. So Victoria Alexander, she started this anti-racist book club thing and books that you can read, a starter kit. And some of them I've already actually read. But the first one that I started reading was So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijoma Oluo. But it's just been fascinating. I mean, yeah. I'm 100 pages in and it talks. When I talked about privilege, she talks about that kind of stuff and she's had to examine her own privilege and that sort of thing. And because you have these conversations with people and they're talking about like, well, what about this? And when I'm fighting the fight, I want to have good, intelligent answers, because if you don't answer people's questions, they're just going to keep believing what they believe.
I agree with you.
And so I highly encourage all of you to go check out the books that she recommended. Her Twitter is, and I don't know this person, but it's at Victoria, VICTORIA, Alexander, ALXNDR. And I looked through those books and it's crazy because you go on Amazon and a lot of them are sold out. Which is
really?
Great.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Which is great.
That's what you
want. If you're looking to educate yourself the way that I am about these issues, I think that's a great place to start. And then also, you know, if you have the ability to fund some of these things, the Memorial Fund for George Floyd, the Memorial Fund for Breonna Taylor, and then obviously funding Black Lives Matter.
Right. And, you know, what I love, what I've always just loved about, you know, my husband and it's how I am and my sister, and it's just really nice, is to always have an open mind. You know, the one thing I've realized with this movement is there's so many deep-rooted beliefs people have or the way they live. It's hard for them to think about change or think about something different. And I just am like, people, have an open mind, educate yourself. I had to educate myself even when this all started and I started to see privilege get thrown around and certain words. I'm like, I wonder what that means, because I know it doesn't mean what first comes to my head. So I would Google words and I'd really research. And even like when I saw people, I put up a post and when I put Black Lives Matter and everyone was so mad at me, I didn't put All Lives Matter. And I'm like, did you even research to see what All Lives Matter means? That mm-hmm. It actually is a racist slogan. And, you know, so it's just important, like you said, Brian, when this all dies down, because that's how social media is, something else will happen and will be the big hot trend, is to still fight for the black community, to still educate ourselves. And, you know, I feel so blessed that I'm married to someone who has an open mind and that we can talk about these kind of things and that we could sit there and be like, okay, so we didn't know, but now we're going to learn. And it feels good to learn.
Well, and it's also just like, I think confronting the, I don't want to like the existing beliefs in yourself, as far as like, okay, for me, for example, I supported Colin Kaepernick when he knelt several years ago, right? But I wasn't super like, I would talk about it with my friends, but it wasn't like I put out a tweet or anything like that. I didn't socially support it, right? When Black Lives Matter first happened, I wasn't out there doing anything about it, right? I supported it, but I wasn't doing anything, right? And I don't want to make that mistake this time around.
I agree. So many people were like, well, I thought by being silent, I was showing etiquette. When you realize, like, actually, no. And it's funny because we, you know, as WWE superstars, we do an anti-bullying campaign. And the one thing we tell people is don't be a bystander. Like, speak up. Like, you see someone getting bullied, you tell someone. And it's the same with this movement. If you're silent and you don't say anything, you're almost part of the problem, where if you speak up and you use your voice, you actually realize the change you can make happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also one of the things that, you know, I'm really learning is confronting individual racism isn't necessarily the answer, because how many individuals' minds can you change? And especially, like, what we need to change is the systemic racism. And that's where the voting is so important, and voting locally, not just the national stuff. But, like, one of the things that, and this, it actually applies to depression as well. But becoming more rooted in place, because when you know your local ecology, as far as, okay, who are these politicians? What do they support? Who's your police chief? Who are all these elected officials that are running our city? And because we moved around so much, it almost feels like we're vagabonds who don't have any deep-rooted place. And I feel like a lot of people are like that, because we have to move around so much with jobs in this day and age. But getting to know your local place, getting to know your local politicians, so that when you're voting for people who are going to make the changes that we need as a society.
I agree. And you know what's crazy, Brian? Nicole and I saw this statistic that there's a higher percentage of people who don't vote compared to the people who vote red or blue. And I was like, come on, if we want to see change, we all have to get out and vote.
Well, I think you and I are guilty of that too, as far as, we voted for the presidential elections. But
you're right, I'm not in town, then I'm not in town. And now more than ever, it's like we have to make...
We have to research our candidates. We have to do all that kind
100%.
Of stuff. And there's no better time to do that than right now, when we're still with the coronavirus. A lot of people are working from home and that sort of thing. It doesn't take that long to research your candidates.
I agree.
And find out what they support, what they believe in.
And you know, when I voted for the presidential candidate last time, I stood in line for 45 minutes. 45 minutes to an hour. And after I voted, I walked out with the biggest smile on my face, because I was like, that felt good. Like, I get to vote. Like, that's an honor. And I walked out of there with my sticker.
Think of all the women who fought and fought and fought just so women could vote, right?
Exactly. You know, I think about that all the time. Like, there was a day and age where we couldn't do it. And why do I not want to take advantage? Because those women would have done anything back in the day to have done it.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. We don't celebrate Election Day, and I feel like we should. I feel like that's something that should be celebrated. And one of the things, when you talk about racism and systemic racism, is the way that they've kind of kept a lot of black men and women from voting over throughout the history of the United States. But starting to celebrate, hey, this is our day where our voices get to be heard, right? So this is not something that's like, okay, oh no, I have to research all this stuff. No, this should be celebrated more than a lot of things. The ability for every man and woman in this country to be able to go out and vote and have your voice be heard, I think that's something that should be celebrated. And we should have election parties, and we should have election discussions. And especially,
I agree.
And you know,
we're throwing a party this year.
We're going to throw a party this year.
You know?
And so, like, getting together with groups of friends and being like, hey, these are the candidates. If we took that step as a nation too, where everybody's more invested, I think that we would see a lot of positive change, because I think a lot of people get demoralized. I've gotten demoralized. They're like, oh, our politics are so corrupt. How do you even start to make change? Well, you start by starting. Like, every,
I agree.
You know, any big journey starts with a first step. And so I think that's something that you and I really need to work on this year, as far as getting involved in our local politics.
I agree. Well, we're going to do that, sweet face. We're going to help each other out, and we're going to help all of us out, all of you out there listening, like, help your friends, your family, all of us get out and vote. That's going to be the most important thing that we do in 2020. And please, if you guys have anything you want to ask advice on, whatever it is that is just laying heavy on your heart or your mind and you want to talk about it here on the Bellas podcast, please call us at 833-Q-BELLAS. And Brian, thank you so much for being on the show. But now I feel like we need to take a little break so I can get my brain ready, because I can only imagine the questions you're going to ask us next. Up next, you guys, it's Bella Brain.
Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good.
That's right. Each Texas Pete sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor.
The signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything.
It has been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today.
Oh yeah, and you know, you're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers.
The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart.
Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor.
Yum. And their dust dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub.
It's just making my mouth water thinking about it. I mean, I'm always reaching for the Texas Pete.
I think we put it on our breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
We really do.
And we actually even sneak hot sauce in our purses. So if restaurants don't have hot sauce, we put it on.
Texas Pete goes with me everywhere I go.
Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it.
Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products, as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration.
And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
I mean, what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes.
And eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simple heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with as much as or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long, which I love. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Okay, so I keep Factor meals in my fridge. It literally is, just like they say, you put it in there for 2 minutes and it's having a home-cooked meal. Plus, they have all the nutrients on it, the calories. It's been amazing. Mom was over. I was giving mom Factor meals. She was obsessed with it.
The one thing I have definitely noticed is that when I want to be really, really healthy, I think, oh, just eat super little. But no, Factor meals shows you, you can eat a good sized meal with all the nutrients and still be healthy.
And it's for every type of person. It fits every type of diet.
Yes. So head to factormeals.com/twins50 and use code twins50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code TWINS50 at factormeals.com/TWIN50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
I'm so excited because he's back again, my husband, WWE superstar Daniel Bryan.
Thank you, Brie. Always glad to be back for another edition of Bella Brains, the hilarious weekly game show where we keep score to see who has the stronger Bella Brain.
We're keeping track of who wins each week, and the first person to five wins a donation to their favorite charity paid for by the loser. The current score is 4-4.
Ooh, I think I'm going to have the comeback. Finally.
Will Nicole finally win a round of Bella Brains? Let's find out. It's time for
Bella Brains, Bella Brains, Bella Brains.
You know what's really scary? This would be Nicole's first win in 2020.
First win in 2020.
I have been winning all of 2020. You know, 2020 has just not been my year. I'm going to admit. But you know what? I'm going to leave the room first. Because I feel like it brought me luck last week. All right, let's see if Lady Luck is still with you.
Wow, she really hasn't won Bella Brains all of 2020?
Brian, all of 2020, it's wow. Been me.
Wow.
Well,
we're almost 6 months in.
And let's be honest, you went on a little bit of a hiatus.
I did, yeah.
So, we weren't the most consistent with Bella Brains.
Okay.
But yeah, I have been dominating 2020.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I didn't realize everything that was going on. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. For this week's edition of Bella Brains, we're going to be talking about space.
Oh no. You know what? I actually think I might do okay because you and I started that Netflix show last night.
Well, that's why I actually wanted to do this, is because what's that show called?
Space Force.
Space Force. Yeah. When I was reviewing Bella Brain's questions, I was like, space. Let's do space. Because yeah. I thought that show was really funny.
It was funny.
Okay. Question number one. What planet in our solar system is called the red planet?
I know this because I hear my daughter say it all the time. How many guesses do I get?
You get two.
Okay. Mercury? Saturn? What?
That's the easiest question, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah.
What the? Oh, my gosh. You guys, Birdie would have answered this correct, by
the way.
She
would have got it. You know, a lot of these questions were inspired by things
oh
that
my
Birdie
gosh.
Knows.
No. What planet?
Mars.
Damn it.
Okay. Question number two. This is also a super easy answer that most elementary school kids can guess.
No, I can't wait.
What is the largest planet in our solar system?
I know this one. Because I've heard Birdie say this before too. Jupiter.
Ding ding ding, yes! Ding 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 ding.
My 3-year-old daughter has taught me.
All right, the final question. Which planet is the furthest away from the sun in our solar system?
I feel like I know this.
This is the hardest question, for sure.
Because I feel like I've wondered why we haven't gone to this planet. People are like, it's so far. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know.
I mean, there's multiple planets we haven't gone to in our solar system. So.
And I get two guesses?
You get two guesses.
Is it Saturn?
One guess left.
Pluto?
Pluto's no longer considered a planet.
Oh, duh. He's the pet of
he's
space.
The pet.
That's what my daughter told me. My daughter says he's not part of the family of the planets. He's the pet.
No, he's part of the family because he's
well,
the pet.
Well, pets are family.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But
he's
you
not
know.
A real planet.
Sweet face.
Yeah, one out of three. Birdie
what
would
was
be ashamed. Neptune.
See, I knew it was one of the cute names. Neptune, Pluto, those are cute.
And, yeah, and like, I'm shocked that you didn't know because all the way to Neptune, which means
that's,
the furthest
and I, the
fur- planet
and that's
from
what
the
I
sun,
say how much I love you.
That's how, yep.
Oh, I really blew
so,
it.
So, just so you all know, when she says, I love you all the way to Neptune, she really doesn't understand what she's saying.
No,
She knows it's far away. She doesn't know it's the furthest one away.
No, I do know it's the furthest. I just, pregnancy brain. I'm going to say pregnancy brain. Okay, I'm going to go get Nicole.
Okay, one in three. Bring Nicole back
in. Jeez. All right, Nicole. Get your thinking cap on.
Should I be scared?
I mean, I don't think you should be scared. You have a good opportunity here.
Oh, yay.
To win a Bella Brains for the first time in 2020.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so much pressure, too.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Putting a lot of pressure on you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
For this week's edition of Bella Brains, we're talking about space.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Inspired because Brie and I watched Space Force last night.
Oh, did you guys like it? Yeah. Steve Carell's so funny.
He's so funny.
He's so good.
All right. Question number one. Which planet in our solar system is called the red planet? You get two guesses.
Saturn? Great. Now I have two more that I could think that I'm like going between. But I feel like this one wouldn't be called red.
And you only get one more guess.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I said there's two, like, I wish I would have went with. Dang, the red planet.
The red planet.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to say this and it's going to be wrong. But then I feel like because it's obvious, maybe that's why it's right. Mars?
Ding, 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 ding,
yes!
Ding, ding. Yeah, that was the easiest question.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. All right. Mirror. Question number two. What is the largest planet in our solar system? Birdie would know this right away.
She would, huh?
Yeah.
How many guesses?
Two guesses.
What are the ones that I'll hear her say? Well, I have heard her say this one, but I just don't know if it's the biggest. Saturn? Dang it.
Saturn is your guess for every question.
I hear her say Saturn a lot.
One guess left.
And this is where I go back where I feel like I have two different ones.
Okay.
Dang it. The biggest. Brie doesn't want to make eye contact with me, which makes me think of one. I feel like this is wrong, but
hit
Pluto.
It. You've got to be kidding me.
No, it's the smallest.
I mean, it's not even a planet anymore, but when it was considered a planet, it was the smallest. Yes.
See, I was going to go with Mercury.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yeah.
Jupiter.
Jupiter.
In fact, Jupiter.
That's why you were making eye contact with
Jupiter
me.
Jupiter is 2.5 times larger than all the other planets combined.
Great. Forgot about Jupiter.
Okay. The final question. Which planet in our solar system is furthest away from the sun? Two guesses.
I mean, I don't want to say my one guess that I've said first every time, but then I'm like, is that going to be
at some
the
point?
Right,
it's got to be right. There's only 8 planets in our solar system.
So I'm going to first go with Saturn. Damn it. It's like your brain messes with you. And now I have two again, which I should just go with my two instincts instead of saying Saturn. Earth.
No, no.
That was such a genius answer, Earth. We get sunshine all day.
I know, but then you think like if we were close to the sun, we could light it on fire. So
have
maybe we're the furthest away.
Have you ever heard of the TV show, Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Third closest planet to the sun?
Yeah.
Damn it.
We're the third rock from the sun.
Is it Mercury?
No, Mercury is the closest.
The closest.
Yeah.
What's the furthest?
Neptune.
Love you to Neptune and back. I should have knew it.
Well, Brie did not get that right, despite saying to me, I love you.
Which means you probably love you so far, right?
Yeah, that's what it means. It's like, I love you to Neptune and back. It's like, I love you to the furthest planet away from us.
Okay, pregnancy brain, pregnancy brain. But I'm a little confused because did you and I just... We each got one right.
We each got one right.
Dang
so now
it.
It's a tie. So now it's a tie. Are you guys ready for the tiebreaker?
This I've got stuff a gives me anxiety.
I've got a tiebreaker ready. I'm ready for this.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay. You each get one guess, and whoever's closer wins the round.
Perfect.
Are you guys
I like
ready?
That. Yeah.
How many moons does Saturn have?
5 moons. 4.
No, you get one guess.
You get one guess. Okay.
And it wasn't who said it at first.
Fine, 5. I said 5.
So how many moons?
How many moons does Saturn have?
5 is a really good guess, and that's not fair.
If you think Saturn has less moons, you should go lower. If you think Saturn has more moons, you should guess higher.
Well, I'm going to say four because of the seasons, but I feel like five puts you like there or here. Mm-hmm. But I'll say four.
Four because of the seasons.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
To find out who won not only this edition of Bella Brains, but also the entire game of Bella Brains. The answer as to how many moons Saturn has is 62.
What? 62?
62 moons.
I thought I went a little high on five. Yes!
Which means
I
that Bree won. And that also means that Nicole remains winless.
Winless at 2020.
In 2020.
Dang it!
That brings the current score to 5-4, which means Brianna wins another series in 2020.
That's right, girl. Ew.
All right. Joining us again next week for another edition of
Bella Brains, Bella Brains, Bella Brains.
Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast. Yes, thank you. And I'm just so excited that it's out. We're having a boy. And thank you to my fiance, Artem, for coming on the podcast.
And thank you to my hubby, Daniel Bryan, for joining me on Dear Bellas and giving us your expertise on depression. Please make sure if you are fighting depression to reach out to someone for help.
Yes, and tweet us your questions for Bella Army Q&A with the hashtag Bellas Podcast.
And call 833-QBellas to ask us for on-air advice in our segment, Dear Bellas.
Please show us some love by rating the show, leaving a review, and hitting subscribe.
And we just launched a new Instagram exclusively dedicated to the Bellas Podcast, so make sure to follow us at The Bellas Podcast.
And a special thank you to Daniel Bryan for being an amazing Bella Brains host.
Until next week,
remember to stay fearless.
And you'll always go Brie mode if you drink along with us.
See you next Wednesday.
And as Birdie likes to say,
bye-bye.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.